blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and others, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. There are back checks over in the corner for anyone who is new to practice and would like to listen.
Well, I've been noticing several things, and one has to do with participation and energy.
Participation and energy.
Yeah, and I particularly was noticing it yesterday and last night. Yesterday, I've been doing this summer a fundraiser for Living Compassion's Africa Project, and doing a particular activity out in the outdoors that I like
as part of the way
to raise money. And yesterday I did my last one, and it was a gorgeous day, and totally inspired by the weather and by the people supporting me and by what I, you know, the amount of accomplishment I could achieve, and it was just a glorious day and just totally present and full of energy, and loved every minute of it, and noticed that conditioning would come in occasionally in the midst of it with something I should be afraid about.
So habitual sort of pattern of thinking that there's something you need to worry about, and that would sort of drop in.
Yeah.
Periodically through this gorgeous day when you were having an absolutely wonderful time.
Right. And because I was having such an absolutely wonderful time, I just did not pay any attention to it.
Whatever.
Just like, okay, fine. Whatever you say. But what I noticed was that the energy just carried over. And, you know, I came home and rather than kind of going, oh, I'm tired, I'm just going to, you know, sit down.
Which might have been another habitual way of...
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just kept saying, oh, well, now I'm going to do this, and now I'm going to do this, and now I'm going to do this, until I went to bed and slept great all night long. Lately, actually, I've been doing so much. But I noticed that I think a lot of my not sleeping has been waking up earlier than I'd like to wake up, like sometimes way earlier than I'd like to wake up, and having really physical sensations of, you know, I mean, part of me would describe it as like when you get a panic attack almost, but I don't know. But anyway, after having this full day of energy, none of that happened.
Yeah.
I slept fine. I didn't wake up with those sensations.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe part of what you're observing is that the energy didn't move into keeping you awake. Mm-hmm. It wasn't have an unstoppable momentum. It, in fact, contributed perhaps to a better night's sleep.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that I think there's a habitual belief about the amount of energy available and the amount of energy...
Finite,
yeah. And, you know, there's only so much I can do in a day, there's only so much my body can do, and what my experience seems to be is kind of the more energy I use and participate in, the healthier and happier I am.
Yes, yes. I think the longer a car battery runs, the more charge it has.
Yes, exactly.
Up to the point, but yeah,
very much like that. And it carried over into the morning. Until I sat down at the computer to do a...
You could just stop there.
To do a little task on it that I really did have to do. I mean, it wasn't sitting down to just say, oh, I have a few minutes, I think I'll fool around. I mean, I was, okay, I need to do this, and I'll see how far I can get before I need to go on. And it wasn't working. I mean, it wasn't coming out right. Yeah. I just watched the energy start to
Which is really neat to see that contrast, isn't it? Because I would certainly imagine that the computer makes you go into your head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All of the activity you had yesterday, or at least what you've described so far, was you didn't need to be in your head, and when the voices came in, you could just brush them off.
Yes.
But then you sit down and you have to go up there in the domain of conditioned mind.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it managed to
pull the plug,
pull off some of that energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you saw it, so neat to see that contrast.
I saw how it just switched the story. So there's a lot of things on my plate today that could and should be done. And I was kind of in the mode of, okay, let's do these things, you know. And when this thing didn't work, and then I noticed walking down the hill to come down here, it was like, oh God, no, I have to do that, and I have to do that. I don't know when I'm going to have time for that, and then, you know?
It's a whole personality. I mean, it's a whole switch.
It's a whole switch.
If you think of how you were walking, doing your activity yesterday.
It's a whole switch.
And then it's all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Oh,
And the whole being is different. You know, one is like...
Exactly.
One is like this, and one is like...
Yeah. Yeah. And they're all in the same body.
They're all in the same body.
Yeah. And it really argues for, we have some choices.
Yeah. Yep.
When we do what you're doing, which is to see, okay, computer, I'm going over the computer, that means I'm going to be more susceptible. Maybe I'll put some things on my... screen that will remind me.
Yeah,
this could be fun.
Actually, I do have something on there that does remind me that it could be fun. But yeah.
Probably don't see it anymore.
No. Yeah. So, just that.
Yeah. Great. Because I'm suspecting pretty much everybody in the room can relate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To that difference of a lot of energy, doing something beautiful day, really taking in a lot of nature and paying a lot of attention, and then watching the movement into, this isn't working.
Yeah, and just that the whole familiar story of, the whole co-opting of what there is to do into something there has to be done. I often have a big bunch of things on my plate to do. I mean, that's the way I tend to live life, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And the things I choose, by and large, they may sort of feel like shoulds, but mostly I could say I'm not going to do that and nothing would happen.
Nobody's going to have a problem with that other than you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, but how often... the internal story takes it over into a big long list of things to do and to get done,
and you should
and the only reason to do them is to get them done, not for the joy of doing them or participating in them, which is totally different than the way I was with what I was doing yesterday.
You know,
there was no sense of, oh God, I have to finally get this done. you know, I've been doing this all summer where it's time to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely none of that. It's like, wow, when can I get back here again?
Yes.
How can I do more of this?
In the afternoon activity.
Yeah. But then, and starting the day with, oh, yeah, we can, we're going to do that and we'll do that, and having it all of a sudden turn into, oh, when am I going to have time for that, and how is that ever going to get done?
And your body, I mean, you just shifted into down here.
I do. I can feel it. It's like it's totally different.
Weighted down instead of just sort of buoyantly.
Weighted down precisely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, good to see.
Yeah.
That's so neat that we're starting off looking at this kind of thing this
You
morning.
Can relate?
Well, that and an idea just dropped in completely about something that I've had an idea floating around about one particular way to present how this all works. How, because I just want to give some background. I do a weekly cartoon that I've been doing now for a few years, and I've got to a point with it where it's going along, and they're just coming up one by one, you know, like, I mean, there's a theme for a little while, and then it'll shift themes, but there's no particular direction, and there's just like, there's this one theme that's been off to the side for a while that I've kept thinking, I really would like to do that. This would be kind of fun, you know, the mechanics of how all of this works. You know,
all this, the way exactly what was just being described,
yeah, like
how we get pulled from yay to boo.
Pretty much, yeah, and how it's like, you know, like the setup, the drive to want to accomplish something, and then being knocked back down again, and then rising back up again, and kind of like, you know, those little things at the amusement park pop up, and that might be part of the image that comes up in the cartoon, but just like, they just pop up, and you know, they just whack you back down again, and it's like, it's this like endless cycle, and then there's another side where it's like this other idea that I've been floating around, which is what to focus on instead, you know, like outside of all of that stuff, you know, the game that, so there's this game that this, you know, it feels like I'm being played, you know.
I'm the bully.
Exactly, getting whacked and rising back up again, going back. And then there's a whole other life experience that was described where it's just like, I'm focused on this and I'm doing this, and just as I was sitting this morning, it was so clear. It was like, it's so much about directing the attention that that it's like this train. I saw it was this train. And at any point, it's like they're waiting. The voices are waiting to pull the switch to, you know,
derail. Yeah.
Go on to another track. And it's funny because we also have the opportunity to pull the switch to go in another
rerail.
Is it rerail? And it's like there's this illusion that somehow down the line I get to pull that switch. So this is how the metaphor, you know, switches up. It's like that it's not far off in the distance, that someday when I get this, that's when the switch will get pulled and I'll rerail back into happiness. But that it's in every moment that I can rerail. And you know, that's that example that was just shared is so perfect, because it's like I really want to be aware of where my attention is going, because that's how it all happens. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're doing as we're practicing, is seeing where it goes so that we get familiar with where it pulls the switch, because it's very mechanical where it's going to try to pull the switch. It's going to be like
predictable.
Yeah, like I'm feeling great. I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to pay attention any longer. Life is swell. You know, and or whatever, you know, the thing that's going to get me. And so it feels like I'm learning what it is that is going to whack, is going to cause me to go down that track.
Yeah, which is what the paying attention is about, is seeing exactly that and then getting to a place where we can actually predict and then maybe make a different choice.
Yes. So how this all fits in with what's going on for me is that I'm going to watch how, you know, it's because it's been a while since an idea has popped up where things have come back together again. And it's going to be like a little mini workshop for myself to see how are the voices going to try to take this away from me or make it into something that is going to cause me to suffer rather than to be free with.
Which is perfect, because it sounds like it's going to do the cartoon for you.
It's going to, yes. In the process of doing the cartoon, I'm going to, or this yeah. project around it, you know, it's going to reveal how it does what it does.
Right.
Yeah. So
and you'll be able to share
it's
that.
It's useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, whatever gets revealed will be fodder for the thing.
Yeah, and part of it I just saw is that when we go to that place of, oh, that we know that's one of those potential choice places because mm-hmm. it's right in that moment, it's got us. Mm-hmm. And where is my attention going to go
yes.
from that?
Yeah, so everything is useful to us in that way. Like every step along the way, like it would, because what it can do is just layer on another, like, wow, you're depressed or you're upset about this. That's
here you
terrible.
Are again.
Yeah.
How many times do you have? Yeah.
Exactly. So it's just another opportunity. That's where the re-rail is very useful to keep in mind that every moment has it. And
yes.
it's just where's the switch? You know, it's like, I guess it's like the light room imagery
yeah.
too. You know, there's a switch in this dark room somewhere. I just got to find it.
Yeah, and it's like right at that moment you have it.
Exactly, because I'm looking. It's the idea that it exists and I'm considering
yes.
it has dropped in.
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
That's great.
Yeah.
Ramita.
Well, these last several days of focusing the attention has really made a difference in a very physical way. I gave myself the task the other day of focusing on the hara, which
mm-hmm.
we were talking about a couple
which
of
is the area sort of right below the belly button that a lot of traditions identify as the center of the being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And has always been a rather numb, vacant place
mm.
in this being. And so with my refined strength and awareness tools, focusing there, it's opened up and I'm beginning to feel sensation and conditioning is acting like I've opened Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm. Which it would have be a problem.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, because it doesn't feel good. It was interesting, when I started bringing attention there, I watched the attention slide away. Oh no, you know, it's almost like Teflon. You know, just oh no, something
mm-hmm.
else. That's not pleasant. That's really not where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing it back over and over, this another carnival analogy felt like you know, the dropping in the pit of the stomach that comes from a roller coaster.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's a familiar sensation. And then I remember, you know, fear, exhilaration. You know, they could be two sides of the same coin, or two different
those
labels.
Those sensations may be
well, the sensation
similar,
may be the
identical.
Same
mm-hmm.
with different labels
mm-hmm.
on it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, being at Enneatype 5, fear is a piece of this personality that I have. And so I'm beginning, it's like these links are happening. Conditioning would tell me that any time I focus on the hara, I'm going to have these awful sensations of fear.
Ah.
And that's all that there is there.
Uh-huh. And that it is fear.
It is fear.
Uh-huh.
It's uncomfortable. It's only okay if it's transient, but
uh-huh.
I'm afraid it's going to be permanent.
This won't pass.
This won't pass. It will always be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm not believing that, but staying there, coming back, it's it has been a workshop.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Which is really neat, because you're here for a limited period of time, but you've gotten, it sounds like a project that you can really focus on, that you're recognizing as being really helpful, albeit not necessarily really comfortable.
Definitely not comfortable. And it's as I breathe, especially during sitting practice, breathe from that place, at times feeling almost muscular tension loosening and broadening and softening.
So it shifts.
It's shifting,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which helps me counter that thought that
yes.
conditioning puts up there, that this is always going to be this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It that's, and again, the idea of Pandora's box, you know, there's there's fear, there's something bad there, there's something awful there, so don't open it. Mm. And that's exactly how...
Boy, which is a real signal to go dive into it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's hiding in there?
Yeah, if anything. Because the whole system wants you not to go there and to continue to believe there's something awful. It wouldn't say, hey, go for it. There's nothing there. It's just going to be really pleasant when the tension's gone. It's going to say, don't go there.
Yeah, and, well, what occurs to me is, you know, talking about the second chakra as being a center of abundance, which I've read about and thought about.
Some. That being in the chakra system, that's the location of the second chakra.
Right, and again, that comes back to what I'm learning about the energy type 5.
Which is a whole different system.
I only have so
much
time to
talk.
Right, but how avariciousness is a central illusion in the type 5. Uh-huh. So then abundance here, avariciousness not enough.
Oh.
I'm seeing all these connections. So it feels like I'm working on, to use a construction analogy, the foundation.
Yeah.
Of some, there's a whole lot of structure of belief and conditioning resting on what I'm finding there.
Yeah. And it wants you to believe that what you uncover is not going to be good, so you should find another occupation for your attention.
Really?
Yeah.
Go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else, yeah. Sounds like a great workshop. It's good.
So it just came up this morning. I hardly know where to go, but Re-railing. Re-railing. I love that. And I feel like I had an experience of re-railing yesterday. And I just love this because Poison Oak was my teacher. And it was kind of big for me. Despite my best efforts, I came in contact with Poison Oak.
It works harder. I'm convinced.
And I just saw myself going. I just saw yesterday a whole process going on around that, you know, of the attention wanting to get pulled to, you know, I got this stuff now, you know.
So you come in contact with it, or it comes in contact with you, and all of a sudden you're up about future dire situations.
Exactly. And how bad it's going to get, and, you know, just...
Meditation's going to be...
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, check it out. Oh, whoa, it's spreading more. And, you know, I just watched this whole process and belief system around, A, I shouldn't get poison oak, B, it shouldn't occur on my face ever. And, you know, there's certain areas, if I have to have it, it's okay if it's heat, you know, on my forearm, but, you know, not my neck, not my, you know, it's just... Oh my gosh, there's this whole system around.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot there, isn't there?
There is a lot, which I never ever saw before. And then I just saw, oh my gosh, I just saw the opportunity in it. I just saw the opportunity in, I wouldn't go out and search and roll. it's here, okay?
Yeah.
And I saw that it was like an opportunity to embrace what was happening in this moment without having to like, I don't want this is, you know. But I saw it as a teacher for all the moments in my life to come or have come where I have received or information has come that I don't, this, I doesn't want.
Conditioning.
Yes. Doesn't want.
Yeah. And will spin off into a lot of suffering about what's going to happen.
Right. And, you know, big and little things. I mean, things are going to happen with this body over a lifetime. And at some point, there's going to be the information I don't want, you know?
Again, conditioning.
And conditioning. And and what an opportunity to practice right now.
Yes. Oh, that's perfect.
And
yeah,
to just like, oh, I don't know, it just shifted. It was like,
yeah,
all of it, it was just gone all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That not, I don't want to know.
Yeah. And like, it sounds, I mean, it sounds like a really conscious letting go that you were really there for, and you recognize it as practice for letting go.
I saw it, yeah.
Every time something like that is presented to you as a problem or a difficulty or something to be afraid of or...
Yeah. And just ultimately the big letting go.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It's what I'm here to, you know, practice.
Yeah.
And if I'm not here present with the experience of poison oak and letting go into that, and just embracing whatever sensation.
Just being really interested in everything that happens.
Yeah. And, you know, then, you know, it's probably not going to happen at the moment of death either. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That,
exactly.
That same kind of presence and curiosity and letting go.
And acceptance.
And acceptance. Yeah. And so that was big.
That's great.
And I just, I'm still going to keep my technique, but I, it just was...
Yeah,
it's just really.
Yeah, that's great. Now I think we had down at the end. No, you were just making a show. Yes.
That made me think of what's been happening with myself. This I was diagnosed with lupus and fibromyalgia, and I was having such a hard time dealing with that, and it was bringing such negativity into my life. And then I started focusing all of my energy on the bad days and pain and and all the suffering that it brought mentally, emotionally, physically, that I found that I was allowing it to just drown my spirit.
Which it is really good at. I mean, that's kind of
very
conditioning's reason for being. And you saw it, which sounds like it may have helped you make some kind of shift.
It helped me immensely. I'm a new practicer of meditation and Buddhism. But in the short time that I have been practicing, I've noticed that it's like the bad energy has been lifted from me, like I've been able to let go of that. And I am looking at things more like it's teaching me. It's teaching me lessons that I needed to learn that up until this point I haven't been able to learn.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of opening doors you didn't know were closed.
Exactly. And it's I don't wish illness on other people, but if something happens, if you get poison oak or if you become ill, it's nice to know that there are things that you can learn from that.
Yeah.
And the more that I learn and the more positivity that I bring into my life and do things, like when they were sharing about doing activities that they enjoy, being outside, gardening, I groom horses, just different things. It's actually made my whole life more positive. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and I'm actually seeing a huge difference in the severity of my illnesses. It's almost like I was diagnosed and I was told this is what's going to happen, and I believed that. And that's what happened.
And the person who told you believed they knew.
Which, and you know, with good intentions, they told me all of this. But I bought into all of that, and I'm learning now that that's not necessarily so.
Which is a huge, huge, huge thing to learn, isn't it?
It's incredible, and it's such a gift. I feel blessed at a time that perhaps my past self wouldn't have.
Yeah.
I truly feel blessed.
Yeah, conditioning again would want you to feel cursed.
Yes.
And not see the gift, not experience the, it sounds like almost joy that you're experiencing in what's opening up for you about your life.
Yes. And then to be able to share some of what I'm learning with other people that I love.
Yeah.
And being able to kind of pass that and maybe have them look at something differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a very wonderful experience, and I'm very happy to be here and be part of that and to be learning.
Yeah. We call this Sangha.
Uh-huh.
This group of people that look at awareness practice and practice together, and it feels like you have not only this Sangha, but you're creating one among family and friends that you're modeling for what's possible.
I'm trying. Yeah. I want them to find the same peace and the same joy that I'm starting to find within myself.
Yeah, you're showing the possibility of that. Yeah. That's super. Thank you.
Penny. Wow, lots of things. I was intrigued by the Pandora's box reference,
mm-hmm.
because I remember a number of years ago learning that the original version of that myth, Pandora's box opened to, was all the gifts of life, mm-hmm. all the bounty of life. It was like a cornucopia.
Uh-huh.
And over time,
something got hold of it.
Something got hold of it, and it became all the ills and evils. You know?
Wow.
And to me, that's just such a great model of what conditioning does.
Yeah.
You know, that my experience of conditioning is it so often takes all the bounty, all the good stuff, and turns it, you know?
It makes us believe that, as was just being shared,
right.
I get this information that these bad things, and then I discover that actually these are gifts.
Yeah, and I'm told that if I, explore this area, or I really experience this, it would be terrible.
Yes.
And then we find out that it isn't so terrible.
Yeah.
And so a couple things came up for me out of the conversation specifically. One is the poison oak thing. I have a history of being quite reactive to poison oak.
Mm.
And used to go into a state of almost terror when I would get it, and discovered a way to make it stop itching. And from that time, it ceased to be so scary.
Well, once you learned how
to make it
not itch.
And now, every time I go down the hillside and weed whack, I end up with poison oak, because that's where it is, poison oak. And I don't do anything to it. And it doesn't do anything to me.
Hmm.
It's the dumbest thing. And I'm sure that my lack of reaction to it, psychologically, is a part of my lack of reaction to it physically.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that that's
mm-hmm.
part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other physical thing that came up in relation to this conversation is, you know, I'm working with this arm that I hurt. And so I was at the chiropractor earlier this week, and she was working on something very painful. And I asked her what she was doing, and she said, I'm breaking up adhesions. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so I've noticed in the course of the week that that lower down on the arm, the muscles are kind of sore. And so what I'm choosing to believe is that in breaking up the adhesions, she made available motion that hadn't been available before.
Mm-hmm.
And so the muscles, which haven't been working before, are working, and they hurt. Just
mm-hmm.
like they hurt if I go to the gym and go with them or something. And so again, it just seemed like, you know, just how life works, that you break up something that's really blocked, and there may be some pain. You know, it may be really uncomfortable initially.
Growing pains,
but they're growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
And not something, I mean, that's again one of those places where it feels like condition would say, oh, don't go there because it can be painful. Right?
Yeah, keep your arms still so these adhesions can rebuild.
Don't move. And adhesions seem like, to me, a great metaphor for what conditioning sticks us
mm-hmm.
in. That we're,
mm-hmm.
it creates adhesions so we stay stuck.
Yeah.
So it does feel like, you know, if we have the gift of coming from a practice perspective, everything becomes an opening for us, rather than, oh darn, you know, another problem.
Yeah, everything's a practice opportunity.
Everything, yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
a big shift in kind of my awareness in terms of death and dying, and I've had this conditioned mind for probably about a good decade now that death is something to be feared, and I thought that that's where all my suffering was, in the thought of not being here on Earth someday. And I recognized as I was sitting today that my fear isn't in dying. My fear is my thoughts. I'm scared of my thoughts.
Yes.
And, you know, for me, I think that this is a huge lesson in letting go for me, that I can be aware of my thought now around, oh, I'm thinking about what it's going to be like when I'm not here anymore. It's not my fear of death.
Yes. And we might even say that that's sort of a habitual pattern of thinking that conditioning has found that keeps you from being free, it sounds like, keeps you in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you're discovering you don't have to buy that.
Mm-hmm. I think for a long time, I believed that I had to have that fear to be able to fully experience joy in this life. Like, it was almost like I couldn't experience the joy without the fear. And I'm starting to see, and I thought the two had to live side by side.
Mm-hmm. And so you couldn't have one without the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole yin-yang, you know, you have to have darkness to have light, you know, you have to, and so, and, you know, in coming to the center now for, you know, inconsistently for a number of years, I think that's always been my question is, you know, what don't we have to kind of have both, you know, in our lives? But I think I'm starting to see that sadness or anxiety or feelings that I always saw as bad or the darkness don't necessarily have to be that. You know, they are gifts. You know, they allow me to explore different things that maybe joy or happiness or those feelings don't allow me to experience necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't know, I'm doing a lot of work around that still, but it was just really neat today to see that I was able to identify and be aware that I'm not afraid of dying.
Yeah.
It's that I'm afraid of my thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a really huge awareness that's probably going to serve you in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Thank you.
There was something at one point in the conversation that, I don't know if someone said the word flow or if it just came in to me as flow, and then just the mention of adhesions. I was thinking just what came to me as life flows and conditioning adheres. Because I was really, with what I was talking about earlier, I was just saying that yesterday was so much flow. I mean, there was, it was just participating in the flow of nature and the flow of my body and the flow of all the people that are supporting this fundraiser I've been doing, and it was just a connection with life moving.
Yeah.
And what happened when I sat down at the computer and it didn't work, and then I got into the conversation about a list of things that needed to be done, it was like because it stopped.
Yeah.
There was no longer the flow. There was a getting stuck, a getting stopped, an adhesion.
A resistance.
It
sounds
like. Yeah, exactly.
There wasn't any resistance at all yesterday, even though there was an opportunity to have some resistance in that.
Yeah.
Sitting down at the computer, resistance arose.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, and it felt, and adhesions is a way
to describe that for you. And then it has this, I mean, it literally brings a kind of a disjointed sense to things rather than a moving sense to things.
Yeah, aware that something's out of whack here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's this, you know, these movements that I do in the morning to start the day, and sometimes I'm aware that I do them as a series of there's this and then there's this and then there's this, and other times I'm more aware of it as the one flowing into the next, and how much more I enjoy it when it's the flow than when, okay, next and next and next.
Yeah, and what makes one and the other?
Exactly, right. I was going to say, what even makes a list of things a list of things?
instead of the next steps.
The next steps, right.
Good question.
Yeah.
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 You'll report back.
I'll report back.
I had an experience of some of the things that have been discussed in the conversation yesterday, and had an opportunity to watch, you know, how things affected quality of life and so forth. Mm-hmm. And one of them was fear, and one of them was pain. And so I've been having some pain in two parts of my body that are on the same half of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically now, the pain has been of a higher, a more intense level that is like, ooh, now this is going a little bit beyond just, you know, normal aches and pains and creaks of more ears added to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of far away from a place where I could relax, and this pain started getting really intense. And I watched fear, you know, come up because of how bad it hurt, and because of the implications to my overall mobility if this is going to be something that's going to
be. So it sounds like one of those, like a couple of people have referred to, one of those where there was some conditioning coming in suggesting what this is going to mean for the future.
Exactly, yes. Uh-huh. And what it was going to mean for that particular then, because how was I going to get home? Because okay. I was kind of far away.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on this part of my body to get me where I needed to go.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So it was kind of immediate, you know, and yet there was that, what does this mean kind of thing. And what I saw was that the coming and going of this pain has been seeming sort of random. Because I go along and there's nothing, and then all of a sudden...
It's not because I do this or do that. It just shows up sometimes.
Yeah, and I know some things that exacerbate it, and I know there's probably causes, and maybe I'm just focused on what I'm doing, and then suddenly I realize it's hurting. So here it was hurting, and it allowed me to notice that it was fine if I was on flat ground. It wasn't too bad if I was going up, but when I was going down was when.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, wow, this is the good part of having, you know, something go on, like people have talked about, that it allows one to get connected, being present.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so then I was able to help myself maneuver the terrain I was on by knowing that, and and then I saw another thing that happened with it was that when I got to a point where I could stop and get some and not go on any further and allow someone else to go on further and bring a car back to get me, and there was this no thing just came up, you know, like, no. Because it was that fear was coming up in what does this mean for the future?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if I can't finish what I'm doing, then it means type
yes.
of thing.
Yes.
And
if I have to have somebody help me?
It means that I'm going to require assistance. I'm not going to be able to do these kind of things in the future, and it's going to, you know, blah, 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 and be handicapped in some way, at least compared to how I've been, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And that no was just, and I just stopped and realized I've done a lot already, and it's not kind to the body.
Yeah.
I don't know really what's the cause of this,
yeah.
and there's no sense in going on another mile to find out anything more. I'm going to gratefully accept the assistance.
Be kind to the body.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so I just saw a lot of things in it,
yeah.
and was grateful for the ability, once again, that everyone else is talking about, to have something that feels really, really real, mm-hmm. you know, your body or mm-hmm. death or whatever, and to be able to use it to be kind and to bring more attention to oneself and caring yeah. and kindness.
Yeah, yeah. What comes to mind for me is it's choosing to end suffering in that moment, rather than choosing something over ending suffering.
Right.
Like, I will go on and I will make it.
Yeah, I will prove this doesn't mean I can't do
yeah.
whatever.
And instead of, hey, let's get a ride.
Right, and how unkind it would be to the being to do that, to
yeah.
just push through because
yes.
of that, because it already had done a great deal. It had had, a mission that it did, and mm-hmm. it didn't need to really continue in that moment for another
yeah. Yeah, so really great to see that moment of choice between kindness and kind of being abusive.
Abusive,
like,
really?
Unnecessarily.
Totally. Yeah, just to prove a point or it's kind of something kind of akin to what I look at as macho or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah, so it was to tough day. I don't need any help. I'll just
yeah.
rip on to the end here.
Yeah.
You
right.
Know?
Right.
Yeah. So yeah.
yeah.
Grateful to have a place to work with things like that that
yes.
can be.
We have choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay, thank you.
Jim, good day.
Yeah, it's a neat conversation. I was connecting some things up and looking at that. I had an experience similar yesterday, sort of the other side of it, where I had this thing that I was going to go do, and I started to do it, and immediately I was like, okay, well, no. This is too much. And, like, physically,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I realized I actually don't know that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I had started doing it,
mm-hmm.
and I could see it was going to be somewhat taxing, but I was not nearly at the point where I needed to stop.
Yeah.
And so I just went, well, how about we'll see?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just go until I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine.
Yeah.
I did the whole thing fine.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I hear that so much in the whole conversation this
mm-hmm.
morning. I was really struck by the, what we're afraid of is our thoughts.
Yeah.
And it feels so much like that's what that conditioned mind
yeah.
going out into the future and looking, am I going to be okay out
mm-hmm.
there?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I have to prepare now and change this moment based on what I think might happen later.
Mm-hmm.
And so the practice of, if I'm here, if I'm present, I'll always be adequate to and able to care for the being.
Yes.
So there's no need to go out into the future and to decide what hasn't happened yet and therefore how I'm going to,
yes.
but simply pay attention to now, do what can be, is kind to do now, and figure the next moment I'll be there and that'll
yeah.
be fine too, and we'll do what we need to do then.
Yeah, which is neat because I just saw technically there is no future.
Exactly.
So we might as well
truly.
Just stay now and do what's here now.
Yeah.
And it might be, I need to stop and get a ride.
Yeah.
Or it might be, hey, that was fun.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. And actually, I really think going back to the, what we're afraid of is our thoughts, it's like what we're afraid of is being taken by condition. Because what I just went through was, I think part of what goes on for me in something like the task I was doing is, it can get to a point where I'm so close to done that I just got to do it. Got it out, and knowing that there could be a point where it just becomes a just kind of
yeah.
Because actually, when I look at it, that initial, like, wow, this is actually too much,
mm-hmm.
felt like the very first seeing into it was not a, it wasn't a, I don't want to do this, it wasn't a, anything like that. It was a paying attention to the body,
yeah.
wanting to pay attention to the body.
Yeah, it wasn't an idea, it was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see if I can just sort of throw it away, but something like, so if I can trust, how do I say it? It's like, there's a part of me who knows that she can get pushed, that I can feel pushed by myself, which is essentially being pushed
mm-hmm.
by conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's part of what happens there is,
yeah.
no, I don't want to push myself in that way or have be allow myself, however the language gets tricky,
mm-hmm. right,
but allow conditioning to push me in the way it normally does.
Yes.
But if I can trust myself to stay here, then I could be 7/8 of the way through the task, and that would be a perfectly fine time to say, that's enough.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
if I can't trust myself, no, the final 8, I just gotta mm-hmm. have and get it done, then there's that distrust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if I know, at any point, it's completely fine to say that's enough,
yeah.
then it gives me the freedom to just to pay attention and keep going as far as I can go, and
mm-hmm.
then I know that I'll stop when I'm ready, it's time to stop.
Yeah, that's so neat, because what conditioning can be so good at is turning around. I mean, we know it tends to push me,
mm-hmm.
therefore is that what's happening right now,
right.
or
yeah.
And
yeah.
as you say, just being here in the moment is going to provide the only yeah. sane answer.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
The conversation reminded me of a moment that I had talking about being kind to yourself, to your body, and compassionate to your own body. I had a moment where I realized I was sitting on my bed crying,
mm-hmm.
and there was no one else there, and the person who was making me cry was the voice in my own head.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
it was telling me the most horrible things. It was saying
mm-hmm.
things that I would never dream of saying to another person because it
yeah.
was cruel.
Yeah.
And I had that moment where I stopped and I thought, if you wouldn't say it to another person, why would you say it to yourself?
Yes.
And then I also realized that by perpetuating that cycle of telling myself these negative things, these bad things, I was keeping myself from attaining what it was that I wanted to, because I was conditioning myself that
yeah.
I couldn't,
yes.
or I wasn't good enough, or, you know, different things.
Yeah. Really, it sounds like really paying attention and seeing conditioning in action
mm-hmm.
in the way it causes us to suffer. Seeing very clearly, that's what's going on. I'm being told horrible things that I wouldn't say to a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. Jim, did I see your hand?
Along the same theme of dealing with pain, I have a spot that if I am right-handed, and if I use my right hand and shoulder for very long at a time, I get into some serious pain.
Mm.
And I've had it for years, and it has escalated in the last few months
mm.
to the point where it was every day. And so I partook of some Western medicine treatment, and it has calmed down. Still there, but it's calmed down a lot. This was very, very recently. And what I'm looking at is all of the fear, the fears, the beliefs, the meaning,
mm-hmm.
the you should, you shouldn't, this whole universe of pseudoscience.
It does
stuff.
That, doesn't it? The
yeah.
whole universe, yeah.
Just around what feels like being kind to the body.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a cortisone shot in.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wish I hadn't, because
because of what it's brought in.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Hepatic.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have done that. That's not the thing to do.
Yeah.
You should be. Yes.
It's one of those, where were you when I was about to get the shot?
Well, and, yet I don't believe it. Which doesn't keep it from talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every fear that I have about all the pain coming back and mm-hmm. what this might mean for the future and all of that, and that all absolutely might be true.
Or not.
Mm-hmm. Right? But the only thing that I'm clear about is that listening to this stuff, listening to the self-hate and conditioning and the all those voices.
Yeah.
It just adds insult to injury.
Mm.
It's just
adds insult to injury. Yeah. Yeah. What's the point, really,
right.
of doing that to right. you, except to make you feel worse?
Right. Well, yeah. And something that we were saying in group Thursday about basically what I heard was no second thoughts. You know, the universe begins now. Looking back.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's illusion.
No assessing something that has already been. Again, it's just now.
It's just now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And without awareness practice now, we'd just be completely, and I remember before awareness practice, completely full of self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
what things mean, how I should be
trying to fix what's wrong with you.
How to fix what's wrong with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did something to try to fix what's wrong with the body. And it's just bam!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do a kindness which is met with unkindness.
Yeah. You know,
trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, what came up for me was one of the great gifts of working meditation. Because
working meditation being what we do here when we're
right.
not sitting or eating.
Right, and if we're paying attention, what we do at home as well. But especially here. And I've often found myself doing a task here that in one way or another was really difficult. And starting to feel sorry for myself.
Mm.
And all of a sudden...
Little internal whining.
And remembering that... and often feeling like, I'm not sure I can continue. I'm not sure I can do this. You know,
mm-hmm.
And coming up against the realization that I can stop.
Yes.
And that the world is full of people who are doing this kind of work who don't have that option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their workplace does not allow them to say, I'm tired, I'm sore, I'm whatever, I need to stop.
Yeah.
And we're given the gift of paying attention so we know if we actually have to stop, whether it's just the voices or, you know, where we actually are relative to this activity.
Mm-hmm.
And the great gift of being able to say, I have to stop, or I can continue. But having that option is really extraordinary.
Yes.
And, I was just reminded
really appreciating the gift of that privilege.
The gift of that privilege. Both the gift of learning that
mm-hmm.
and the gift of having that privilege in,
yeah.
in the work that we do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all. It's our time.